a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Maths is absolutely huge. It's a ratings juggernaut, and there are so many people on there that are doing wrong, and you just love to see it, right? The dinner party last night was so intense. There were so many wrong things that happened, but we don't have time to discuss them all. So we're going to chat to Eden from Maths, and this is a little bit of audio of what happened last night if you missed it.
Yes, I lied to Tim. I didn't want to tell him that I was going to be with my ex.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Nothing happened. I came home at midnight, and then that was pretty much it.
Like, I don't personally buy it. I don't buy it.
No one at this table does.
Well, you asked for the whole weekend off. You see him Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you knew that this was all premeditated. You knew he was coming. You were planning this whole weekend.
So that's Sarah and Tim.
Great that she came home.
Yeah.
I came home.
Come on. That's Sarah and Tim. But Sarah had messaged Eden saying she wants a nice top to wear out because her ex was coming. Eden said, I'm not holding this secret for you anymore. And it all kicked off. Eden, good morning.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
So intense last night, and you suffered so much anxiety through the actual Byron Bay retreat. So, you had to come out and say this because you said you didn't want it to affect your relationship with Jaden. Can you go into more detail about that?
Yeah, I think Jaden, if he had it his way, the second he found out, he would have walked down the corridor and told Tim then and there. Mm. And I was really holding him back to not do that. I'm a bit of an overthinker, which you probably all saw at retreat, unfortunately. And I really was overthinking whether it was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do or how to do it or when to do it, all of that. And I was really trying to stop Jaden from doing it. And then I guess that made him feel a bit like, well, do you agree with her? And I don't. I don't agree with her. I don't agree with what she was doing at all. I just couldn't fathom, you know, getting in this big drama with someone and getting in this big fight. It's just not me. But I did really feel strongly that Tim needed to know.
Speaking of drama, Eden, do the producers ask you and Jaden to stir up the drama a little bit, you know, go for it?
I have read that online a little bit. That's probably where you're getting that from. But correct. No, definitely not. Definitely not. I think that's someone trying to deflect what's happening in their own area.
there's this whole bro code and there's the girl code or whatever. But, I mean, how far can that really extend when you've known essentially these people for 5 minutes and you're probably not going to be mates for life? It's different if it's one of your actual girlfriends, yeah?
Totally. And I think like girl code is one thing, but there's also being a good person and having morals and having respect for people. So we've known each other at this point, I think it was maybe five or 6 weeks, I'd say. And I just think I looked back and I thought, would I be friends with someone who was treating someone that way in real life? And the answer is definitely not. None of my friends would be doing that.
Yes. Excellent.
You were so strong when you pulled them aside and said, Sarah, if you don't tell him, we will. And I was screaming at the TV like, yes, Eden, yes. The other thing is, though, is that I just need some confirmation on the explanation, because during the retreat, we saw that you were really upset and you sat Jaden down and you said, hey, this is what's happened. Sarah, text me.
Yeah.
But when you told Sarah, you said that Jaden saw the messages on your phone. So were you just trying to kind of make it seem like, hey, in that moment, Jaden saw and, you know, he's here to back me and that's why he's here? Or is that how it really happened? And then on the show, they had you kind of explain to Jaden so we could, that was kind of the backstory.
No, he didn't see the messages on my phone. And that was a mess up on my half. I was about to swear then, sorry. That was a mess up on my half. And that you'll see that play out a little bit later in the show. But, I shouldn't have said that. It was more just I was scared. You all saw how scared I was at retreat. And I said to Jaden, I really need to say that you just saw them, because otherwise she's going to lose it at me.
Yeah.
And she's quite a fiery girl. There's no doubt about it. We've all seen that. So I think I was pretty petrified to do that. And I needed Jaden there saying, I've seen them too, you know. Mm. I kind of wish I'd more said I just showed him, because that's the truth. I did.
Yeah, but you don't want her showing up at your home.
I know. That's the thing. And I was like, and I knew I was doing the wrong thing by betraying her trust. So this was just me overthinking again, trying to work out a way to feel safe to do what I was about to do. It probably wasn't the best decision on my half, but that's all right. We move on.
I'm worried about all this drama but happening in Byron. Like, it's the most chilled out place going around, isn't it? Like, all the tension in Byron, everyone would have been feeling. You're supposed to be relaxed and just enjoying this retreat, aren't you?
I think I have trauma from Byron Bay. I don't think I'll ever be going back.
You're not the first person to say that, Eden. Just before we let you go, do you think that something happened with Sarah and her ex?
If I thought nothing happened, I wouldn't have said anything.
Oh. Such a good season.
I don't know. I didn't sit in the room and watch it. I don't know. I have no idea, but... If I strongly believe that something did, otherwise I wouldn't have said anything.
And are you and Sarah on speaking terms at the moment?
No.
Not surprised, but okay. I think you got to do...
No, I mean, I get that.
You got to do what you got to do, and you did great last night, Eden.
Yeah, well done. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for your time this morning. Married at First Sight, and back on our tellies, Channel 9, on Sunday night at 7 p.m.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au. Direct from krock.com.au. The latest news. The latest fashion. This is What's Trending.
So Adam Sandler and Margot Robbie were 2023's highest paid actors, but one is definitely making more than the other. Who do you think, Margot or Adam?
Margot, for sure.
No, it's going to be Adam because he signed like $1 billion Netflix deal, didn't he?
That's right.
You can make 12 movies.
He raked in $73 million last year because he's making that many movies for Netflix, none of which are going into theatres. They're all just Netflix movies, like a majority of them. Murder Mystery 2, You Were So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah, Leo and Spaceman. Spaceman is being released later this year. He's already got paid for it. Margot Robbie, though,
there's
a bit of a difference. There's a bit of a difference. She made $59 million. Last year.
Okay.
And you got to think, most of that is Barbie money. Barbie made $1 billion at the box office, but she had a small cameo in Asteroid City. The difference between Margot and Adam, besides the $14 million, is that Margot's movies are all in the theatre. So you kind of see this is where the trend's going, yeah? Streaming services with their movies, spending big for actors to make their movies on their platforms. The rest of the list isn't that surprising. We've got Tom Cruise, Ryan Gosling, Matt Damon, Jennifer Aniston, Leo, Jason Statham, Ben Affleck and Denzel Washington. And a lot of people are like, where's all the women at? There's still a big wage gap when it
Absolutely,
comes to
yeah.
actors
yeah.
and actresses. God, Lingy's like, maybe if they worked a little harder. That face at me, he was like, well.
I stood here not saying a word.
You gave me a face.
I was interested in what you had to say, love.
Yeah, you're like,
maybe if you work a bit harder at your game.
I'm not here right now, but if you'd like to leave a message after the tone.
You're scaring our guests, Gary.
Okay, that's what's trending somewhere in there. Stay up to date with everything trending at krock.com.au. Here's a lady who's done pretty well this year financially, Taylor Swift.
Not over now. Financially enough, though. If she put in the hard yards, Cameron.
Yeah, imagine what she could have done. Unfulfilled potential.
Yeah, Travis Kelce's girlfriend, you call it.
Our guests in the studio are actually going to believe that I think this.
James Kelly from the Cats joins us next on KROQ.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
It's been a busy morning. We've had lots of people in the studio and we do have a very special guest. We saved the best for last. Former Bombers champion.
Current Cats assistant coach. Didn't give him the heads up that these two both are
diehard Bombers.
Oh, right.
Sean and Brad,
They remember the great James Kelly as an Essendon player. Yeah. Most other people would remember him as a Cats legend and now assistant coach.
It's nice to feel welcome in the room, isn't it?
On so many levels.
Yeah. Welcome, Kel. It is great to have you here on the eve of the season. It kicks off tonight. The Swans taking on the Demons. But it doesn't get underway until next Saturday night for the Cats.
Yep. We avoided round zero or opening round. Did they change the name to opening round?
O-week. Aren't they calling it O-week? O-week. No, they're not. But that's what I'm calling it.
The round that just got pulled drinks. Out of thin air by the AFL.
Yeah.
Which actually, there was no NRL in New South Wales, but they're all back by now. So
yeah.
I think it was just a sneaky way to fit in an extra round, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, you're not saying they did it for money, are you?
No, AFL. No, I'm just saying for the fans.
Oh,
so extra footy for everyone.
Yeah. What happened to, didn't Richmond Carlton start the season? Isn't that a tradition? Well,
they will next Thursday night, even though they're not starting the season.
Oh, the real round one.
Yes. So this is round zero.
Yeah.
So now zero's a number.
Yeah.
So not only are they putting new games in, they're also reinventing mathematics.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah,
we love that. The Cats are kicking off next Saturday night.
Next Saturday night, yes.
GMHBA Stadium against the Saints.
New and improved GMHBA Stadium.
Yes.
So Friday night just gone. Geelong took on the Bombers in the practice match. They opened about half the ground, including the Joel Selwood stand. I took my kids and we sat in the Joel Selwood stand. It looked pretty cool. It's going to be amazing to have the entire ground filled, though, isn't it? Hopefully 40,000 people.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's become that sort of having that stand gone for a whole year and now it's back and there's a little bit of noise. It sort of started echoing around the stadium again, which was great. So, and I think the seats are a bit comfier there, I've heard, and I'm not sure. It was a beer a bit colder than you.
There's a good standing room area.
Well, yeah, that's been fondly named Beer Can Corner by the players.
Beer Can Corner.
So I think Steve Hocking said recently that they were trying to get approval that you could actually serve cans in the standing room up there. So it feels like a bit of old school footy up there. You know, even local footy these days, you go and watch Joey's play and you get a can and sit there and watch. It feels like a bit like Geelong. A bit of that local connection. So we're just hoping the boys have been practicing shots from that pocket a fair bit. So if there's some wide entries out there early in the game and a few pot shots from there, just forgive the boys, but they're
just to get the crowd up and about.
Lingy
Lingy still wants to take his milk crate that he used to stand on when he was a young fellow, so he can now be six foot.
Yeah, he grew up a Cat supporter.
Yeah. Never stops talking about it, does he?
He played for the Cats too, actually.
Did you get to when it was under construction, did you get in there at all and just write Kel was here and in the concrete anywhere?
You know when you're a kid and you walk past the freshly poured concrete in the footpath. Yeah, we all got a chance to write our initial. No, we didn't. A few swear words or things like that. It was always fun when you were a kid. But no one did that. But they've done an amazing job. I talked about it during the week, but you know, the effort of the state government, local government, the club, you know, everyone coming together and getting all that done is how much effort that takes shouldn't be underestimated, I don't think. And then all the, you know, the tradies up there constantly, it's hot, they're out there screwing seats to the frames and all that sort of stuff. So even though it's been a bit delayed, you know, there's been people in there every day just working away to get it done. So even yesterday after training, they were had the cranes up and the boom lifts getting everything sorted. So it's been amazing effort.
That's cool.
I love the fact that Cal now in role as assistant coach has like a serious, like really articulate side to him. I want to one day get some of the young players that are now under his care and just pull them aside and have a little chat to them about James Kelly, the young player. And some of the trips and things we got on.
Oh, we're going there, are we?
Spill!
All right, let's play a song, Tommy.
while we're at it. One of the good things about making an exorbitant amount of mistakes when you're young is you get to help the younger players teach. Yeah. Don't make the mistakes I made.
Yeah.
You've got some wonderful young players under your care now, though.
We do, yeah. We've got a really good batch of kids. You know, it's not often. The reality is, I think in footy generally and in life, you don't often meet, you know, bad people, and you know they sort of stand out, I reckon, generally, and that's really pronounced at the footy club. I think we get a lot of really good kids and a lot of hard workers, a lot of humble kids, so they're really easy to work with. You can be a little bit of a fraud as a coach, like it's like you're just sort of there and they're doing all the work and you're just sort of helping them. So we've got a really good group,
kind of like a third announcer on a radio show.
That comes in past seven.
Anything past the end is just junk.
I've had you back the whole time, Kelly.
All right, we've got to take a break, but if you want to hang around, that'd be great because we do need to talk Cats season 2024. James Kelly, Cats assistant coach, joins us.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Joined in the studio by Bombers legend and also Cats assistant coach James Kelly.
It's great.
It's been a bloody thin 20 years for us Bombers fans, so give us what we...
Yeah, it has been. No, it's good. It's, It was a good part of my career. I enjoyed it. I did really enjoy being at Essendon.
Yeah. So. We enjoyed it back then too.
Yeah, we did.
The good old days.
I was an
Essendon
supporter when I was a kid. So,
yeah. Right. We should all hug and have a photo later.
We're going to. Oh, sorry, you have no ifs or buts about it. I'm coming over. Anyway, it is, although we are chatting about Cats, it's a very exciting season that's about to kick off. Obviously not this week because it's O week or whatever they're calling it. Round one, though, next week against St Kilda, it's going to be huge. How are the boys feeling going into it?
I think they're feeling pretty good. I think our injury report, we've only got two players, Gary Rowan and Cam Guthrie, that are injured. So generally, the whole list is feeling pretty good. We've had a lot of guys who have completed like a huge amount of pre-season. So as a player, you always just feel if you're in good shape at the end of pre-season, you don't go into the season with a niggle or a little bit underdone. You generally feel pretty good.
Yeah.
There's always, with that comes a bit of, the players crunch the numbers around selection and they start to get a bit anxious and probably not so much the really young guys. They know they're back a little bit, but you know, the guys that are on the fringe find this next couple of weeks really hard. There's probably about five or six of those guys that it's really hard for because you know you're good enough to play, but there's just not a spot in the team. So that's kind of like, you know, that's a really difficult part of footy that we don't talk about a heap, I think, for the players. But outside of that, I think everyone's generally feeling pretty good. The older players have trained really well, they're fit, fresh and available, which is all we can ask for. So we're happy at this point.
The fans look towards the next generation often, especially coming off a season where the Cats haven't played finals. I think, okay, where's the improvement going to come from? You get some of those older guys back, healthy and fit, as you're talking about, that'll certainly improve it. But then look to, can Tanner Bruin make the jump? What does Maxie Holmes become in the next 12 months or 18 months? Sam De Koning's obviously been terrific. Toby Conway in the ruck. So maybe that group of players, are we likely to see them round one? Are you expecting some of them to have a big impact? Tanner and Max probably certainly is for round one, but the others?
Yeah, like Ollie and Jai and Toby and all, and Ollie Henry as well, sort of in there.
Yeah, there's another one.
He's pretty new for us as well. And all of those guys, if they're not playing round one, I'd probably say we're going to see them definitely at some stage throughout the year. So Scotty's a real believer in this, and I am too, and so are all the coaches. Is we've actually got a squad of 30 that we'd like to play pretty regularly. And we got older guys who we don't want to put to the sword too early in the season and they get fatigued late. We want everyone playing the best footy at the back end of the year. So, and to be able to do that, you need to have younger players who are ready to go. And the depth of our list is really good. So if we've got, you know, 32, 33 players that we end up playing throughout this whole season, I think we're in really good shape. So I'm trying to answer your question without really answering the question.
No, I know, because you've got the big selection meetings coming up.
I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, if you bought a few of their jumpers, you'd be able to wear it through a game early in the year, I reckon.
Nice way of putting it.
Lingy mentioned before not playing finals last year. Coming off the back of a premiership win, have you as coaching staff used that fact as a bit of a light of fire message underneath?
Yes and no. Like, you don't really have to bring it up too much. We've just talked a lot about, just on that, the players know and they feel that their egos are dented as much as anyone else. Mm. So especially a group that's had so much, they've played so much footy in September for a long time, before I was here. Mm. So you don't sort of need to hit them over the head with it, I don't think. But we just keep reminding them that the benefit out the other side is we get a lot of time together in pre-season. So right from early on in pre-season, we've had really good numbers at training. So we have just been talking to them about the benefit of having so many players on the track. We can do 18v18 in November because we've had so many players training. And my previous 2 years here and some time at Essendon, that's a little bit unusual, having so many players on the track. You know, sometimes at the end of a day of pre-season, there's 16, 17 guys that you're trying to get a really purposeful drill going with them because they've still got to get their distance in the session. So, we're not really sort of talking about it too much, but now at this point of the year, we're saying we've had that time, we've used that time effectively. All we've done is set ourselves up well. Now we just have to go and perform, and that's on an individual and a collective level.
All right, can't wait for it.
Oh, it's exciting. It's
exciting. There's a little bit of electricity in the air as footy season 2024 is about to kick off. James Kelly, thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. We do have to mention there's a special deal going on for memberships. If you're thinking about becoming a Cats member, now's the time to do it, because if you purchase a reserve seat in the Selwood stand, new one, and use the code KROCK at checkout, you'll also get free two-game MCG reserve seat membership valued at $70. T's and C's do apply.
Does Joel deliver that membership himself?
Oh, he should, shouldn't he?
Should be there.
Yeah.
He's been at the stand pressure washing the seats down. Yeah. I'm not sure he's that busy at the AFL.
Scrubbing off the graffiti that you put on there before. All right, Kel, thanks for your time, mate. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again during the season.
Sounds great.
Tom, Lingy and Lockie. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.